Thank you, Ryan. Hi, everybody. It's Phil and Wendy. We're on the radio, and you're listening to us. It's the way it should be. We're 312-981-7200, so please call in anytime you feel like it.
What do you always say about Friday? I tried to say it when you were gone last week, and I didn't say it eloquently, like the best day ever invented
it's
or something.
It's the best day ever invented. I don't know.
You're right.
I don't know who's behind it, but they nailed it with the Friday thing. Love the Friday thing. I have to share with you something that I experienced in the parking lot here at WGN Studios that I can't explain. I have no idea what exactly was going on. Did you ever see something and you go, am I dreaming? What am I looking at? What am I seeing? And I have a witness.
Can I get a witness?
But I wasn't smart enough to say, please come on the air, because I don't know who this guy is, but he saw the same thing I saw and was as mystified as I am, maybe even more so. He may still be there, shocked, because what I saw shocked me.
Oh, my gosh.
I pulled in, and I thought, as I'm pulling in, I look up in the sky, and I think I'm seeing what I'm seeing, but I go, no, probably not. It's probably just the glare from the sun or something. It's not what I think I'm seeing. And then I stop the car, and I get out, and I look up, and it is exactly what I think I'm seeing. Here's what it is. It's clouds, but they're not clouds. They're lower than clouds, and they're made entirely of soap bubbles, and there's about 16 or 18 of them just floating around the city, of course, above us. And they're not there anymore, because I looked.
They weren't there when I got in, and
you
I came in
the
early
same place
today.
As me. Because as I pull in, I'm looking at it, and there's another guy just looking up, and I go, what is that? He goes, I don't know. He goes, it looks like soap bubble clouds. And I went, that explains it. You figured it out. It's soap bubble clouds. But there is no such thing as soap bubble clouds.
Somebody's got to make them.
I guess.
Is there a major dishwasher accident somewhere?
Ryan, that's a great question.
We need to look at all the major restaurants downtown and see if
that is a great question.
I wonder if it has something to do with the quicker picker upper because there's a bounty display in Pioneer Court.
I saw that and thought maybe there's some correlation there, but I don't see anything producing roughly because I can I tell you what I did? I went and one landed on the ground in the parking lot.
Like
and
a giant bubble or like a conglomeration of tiny bubbles?
More a conglomeration of tiny bubbles. Hard to say conglomeration this early. Hard to say
Thank
that
you,
this
Don
early. I would say roughly a foot and a half in length. I would say roughly 8 to 10 inches in width. So I picked one up. I'm like, I'm going to bring.
What?
Nobody's going to believe me.
Why did you touch it?
It melted by the time I got it to the inside of the. It was gone. It was completely melted.
Dude, you don't touch foreign matter.
That's
Remember
good...
Stephen King and Creepshow?
Oh my gosh, yes. What was I thinking? You're right.
It could be. What if it's acid bubbles?
Oh, I didn't even know they made acid bubbles.
I don't know
Ryan, do they make acid bubbles?
No, but I'm looking at Tim McGill's forecast, and it doesn't say anything about bubble clouds. It says partly to mostly sunny, but I don't
see... But no mention of bubble clouds.
No, let me get on the phone with him, see what we can
figure
out about this.
I don't know what it could have
been. And there's a construction site on Pioneer Court as well, and it says hard hat area. They should change it to soft hat area
right.
If there's bubbles.
Bubbles aren't going to knock you out if they hit you in the head.
It has to be some kind of Pokemon relation thing.
I don't know what
right?
it is.
Maybe?
Why,
I have
there
no
bubbles
idea.
Bubbles in Pokemon?
No, but I think Ryan's point is that the world is off center now, that anything can happen.
It's true.
Everything's crazy
mm-hmm.
now.
Up is down, left is right.
You know what disturbed me most is that other people, you know how when you pull in, there's people that kind of walk across our parking lot, and why not? Feel free. So this guy is just looking up the same way I am, like, what is this? But then there's two or three other people who just kind of look up and accept it. They just go, well, yeah, bubble clouds. You get these this time of year.
Well, in their defense, they were stealing stuff out of other people's cars. So
right.
That's why they were
right.
in the parking lot.
Okay. They did have an agenda. All right.
It bothers me when people aren't curious. Seriously. It's just, wow, that's weird. I need to get to the bottom of everything.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like Encyclopedia Brown.
You're the of all the people I know, you're most like Encyclopedia Brown of anyone else I know.
I loved those books.
What could cause this?
I don't know.
And if I had just seen, did you ever walk through a park and you see a bunch of bubbles and then you go, well, obviously somebody has a bubble wand or they're just blowing bubbles. And then you find the guy or the girl and you go, all right, figured it out. But I've never seen anything like this. They were huge.
Cloudgate?
I don't know.
Maybe it came from Wisconsin.
Why?
Think
no,
about
it's
that.
From the it came from the opposite direction, Ryan.
Oh.
That's
Indiana?
A great guess.
And they have the Cargill factories right in Whiting there, right?
Could be. I don't know. I don't know what to rule in or rule out at this point.
Talk to Skilling.
He would know. Well, Bill, you're going to get the bubble clouds this time of year. The bubble clouds coming in from the Indiana region. Nothing you can do about it. Just enjoy.
Fantastic. Now do Jim Ramsey.
I'd have to drink.
I should do that one.
You have to drink a swimming pool full of coffee before you do Jim Ramsey's voice. It's impossible to do that without a swimming pool full of coffee. If anyone has any idea what it is that I saw and experienced, or you saw them, because I'm telling you, it like if I saw one, it would have made me curious. But I saw about 18 of them just floating at different levels, floating in different directions, really big sized clouds. What could have caused this? Made of bubbles, I hope, because I did touch one.
Bubble drones, maybe?
Maybe it's bubble drones.
Is it the new big thing? We're going to be talking all about bubble drones in 2017.
That sounds like a novel from the guy who wrote Dune, doesn't it? It's the one of the sequels to Dune, Bubble Drones.
With Sting in it.
Or he would be in
He's
it.
He's going to be in the middle of a bubble doing tantric things.
Right, for long periods of time. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then other mysteries to solve with Encyclopedia Brown and me, Nancy Drew. Stick around. WGN.
Tiny bubbles.
Someone wants to know if there's a Don Ho concert in town. That's where the bubbles came from, maybe.
Boy, that would explain a lot. Mr. Ho, of course, no longer with us, but his memory certainly lives on. You'd think some cover band would come in. Thrasher, Megadeth, you'd think one of those bands would come in and keep that memory alive.
His cousin Big should do it.
Right. His least successful cousin.
Big Ho.
Yep. That's in the story unto itself.
Somebody is claiming Bill witnessed a being, something in the parking lot. It was a bubble cloud kind of.
Not a bubble cloud. Like I said, 16 to 18 of them, all at different heights, just kind of moving around, floating around. Each of them, I'm holding up my hands. I don't know if everybody can everybody see me? They're, I'd say, a foot and a half maybe in length.
And not just a giant bubble. It was like just a big thing of several little bubbles all connected.
Yeah.
So not just a giant.
A bubble network, as we say in the business. It's a bubble network. And just floating all around. I, of course, was confused by it, curious about it. Another guy in the parking lot the same. But other people just went about their business. And I think maybe that's what we need to do in a situation where the world is being invaded by bubble clouds.
That's not a bad way to go.
Right. I know. Right.
If the world's going to end, if it's Armageddon, I'll go right. with the bubbles.
So right. this moment where you're all standing there looking at this, did you remove your hat and look up and say, oh, geez, what is that? I want to know what everyone was kind of, did everyone have a
you know what it
quizzical
was?
Look on their face?
No, because more people, Ryan, were just kind of unfazed by it. Like, most people just kind of just accepted it. Like, oh, things happen, you know? But I, a little bit more curious, and this other guy, just trying to figure it out. And it reminded me of so many science fiction novels where something foreign is just all of a sudden introduced into the area. And you get exactly that. You get some people going, oh, this is the end of the world. And then you just get other people going, ah, whatever.
Did you run from it? Because that would have been hilarious.
No, he went to touch it like a dummy.
I picked one up. My goal was to bring one to you to show you the bubble
cloud. I wish you would have said, oh, my gosh, they're here. And just take off running.
Right. Right. It's end of days.
You were going to bring it to me like a cat that kills a mouse yes. brings to the owner. Yes. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the acid bubble.
That was my goal. I really should wash my hands or something. I have no idea what these things were composed of.
I'm telling you, remember Creepshow, the Stephen King portion of it where he touched right. something that fell from the earth,
well, how
or
many,
outer space, rather.
How many Twilight Zones or Outer Limits or Stephen King stories or the list goes on and on and on. Does something like this happen? Something innocent happens and then 40 pages later, the world's over.
And usually it's like a small child who notices, look, mommy,
right.
and then that's when the aliens attack. And we're all done for, right?
And usually the parent is like, not now, honey.
Right, right.
As a shadow comes over.
Yeah. Not now, honey.
Did you guys ever hear this? I don't know who it was who pointed this out, but it's one of those things that I don't know why everyone in the world didn't notice this, but some guy said, remember in the beginning of Superman when somebody goes, look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plant, and everybody's amazed by that. So the question is, why were people so amazed if they thought it was a bird or a plane? Like, somebody goes, look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Like, why would you do that?
That's like, a good question.
Who would go? What could that be? Oh, it's a bird.
I ain't never seen a live bird flying for.
I know.
Somebody just says you're all pretty silly.
Yes.
Bubbles are only going to float less than 75 to 100 feet.
That's if they're traveling on their own. A solo bubble, that's probably true. But this was a huge network of bubbles connected. So I mean,
where
some
are we
of them,
getting these bubble ratios from too on the distance?
Well, now wait.
Is that something they teach you in physics class?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
708 says bubbles are only going to float less than 75 to 100 yards at best. Maybe take some time, walk around your answer is within 100 yards of where you saw the bubbles. It's a no brainer.
Here's where it gets hard to do that, because that would have been that. Yeah, then you go, I'll just trace them back to their origin and I'll figure it all out. Here's the problem. Our parking lot here at Tribune Tower is below regular level. We're are we one or are we two levels below? I can't remember. We're one level down, right?
I don't know.
Roughly? Yes, one down.
One down? Mm-hmm. All right. So what happens is the way the parking lot is configured is you're seeing things from a level above. You're seeing things at ground level even though we're one level down. Does that help at all?
Yeah, probably doesn't. I mean, you had to walk upstairs to investigate, and you were coming.
And there's
to work.
No stairs near there.
But wait, there are so many people that have questions for you.
All right.
Was it the Good Witch of the North?
Oh, I don't think so. No, it was no.
Why didn't you whip out your cell phone and take a picture of said bubbles?
Only you will know this to be true. Anytime,
I don't know how to use it.
I know how to use it, but I'm slow to the draw. So if I had started doing that, I would just now, and this was an hour and 20 minutes ago, I would just now finally be capturing the picture that I had intended.
Good job, Bill. Remember, see something,
say something. Exactly. I should call Homeland Security and report this.
Bill, he was being vigilant.
Totally.
I'd be the first person in the history of Homeland Security where they'd say this at the end of the call. Could you never call us again? Could this be the only time you and I speak ever?
Bill, here's another one, 630. Listeners, you are just amazing. I wish you would have seen the bubble. You would have done something with it. Now, Bill, you said you touched it. Did it pop or dissolve? How long did it last after you touched it? Was it on the ground when you touched it?
Yeah. From the time, there was one 20 yards from my car that had landed. So I picked it up, and it was hard to pick it up.
You picked the whole bubble cloud up?
Yeah. Yep. Because I'm brave. I'm not afraid of no bubble cloud. So I picked it up, and then from the second I picked it up, it started very quickly dissolving. And by the time I got, you know, you walk up that ramp, I got up the ramp with it.
You were walking with a bubble cloud.
Yeah. And it just kept getting...
I wish I would have videotaped that.
It just, like, it was like you were watching it in fast motion, because it just, it was laying there, but as soon as I picked it up, it was quickly dissolving, as if to say, we're not going to be part of your evidence. And it was just by the time I got up the ramp and toward the door, it was gone.
Did you cradle it so your arms were underneath it, or did you hold it on each end? Because I'm wondering why it didn't like collapse in the middle. Was it like a...
That's a good question.
Did it stay like one solid mass?
It did, but it just so quickly dissolved that like I started out, I was holding it like I would a loaf of baguette bread. And then, you know,
so
how
touched your shirt.
You know how a lot of times I'll be in a small town in France and I'll say to myself, I'll get myself a loaf of baguette bread and I walk around town with it. It was that kind of a thing. But then, no, it didn't touch my shirt. I kept it all. I was able to like hold it mostly in one hand and support it with the other. Like I would
a baby,
a bubble baby.
Did and you then, support its neck?
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't touch the soft spot on the top either.
The whole thing was a soft spot.
That's true.
You're making this up.
I'm not making it up.
It
sounds so bad.
Crazy.
Why did I bring the other guy in? Because the other guy was more like I could see like he had panic in his eyes. Like this is the end of all of us. We're all done.
You were touching it. Did he see?
No, he didn't see me. No, because he would have. I bet he would have advised me not to.
Don't touch it, dude.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why you touched it. You really should go
wash
your hands.
I'm going to wash my hands now.
Yeah, but you've touched everything. Wash your badge.
I have to wash
them. Wash the buttons.
I have to take a chemical shower. I have to take the Silkwood chemical shower.
Get the Silkwood shower. All right, well, if anybody knows what it might be, this is really weird.
Isn't that crazy?
Did you have mushrooms for breakfast in your omelet?
Yeah, I had mushroom-o cereal. the worst-selling Kellogg cereal of all time, Mushroom-O's.
Well, you should have it. You're a fun guy.
All right, we'll take a quick break. I got to take a chemical shower and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm going to call you Bubble Boy.
I'm all right with that. It's way better than the other nicknames that I've heard.
You weren't supposed to hear those.
All right, so really quick, if you're just joining us, something of a mystery this morning as I pulled into the parking lot here at Tribune Tower. I looked up in the sky as I'm pulling in, and I see a series of clouds, but they're not your standard clouds. They're smaller, and they're everywhere. I saw about 16, 18 of them. And
isn't it more like a blob of foam?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. It is exactly that. It's a blob of foam. But when you see that many of them up in the sky, it looks like clouds, but nowhere near as high as clouds would be flying. They were hovering maybe, I don't know, a story and a half above me, roughly, you know, two stories at the most. So they were everywhere, and they were made of bubbles of foam, you know?
Well, we didn't know what it was, and no one was coming to our aid. No one had seen it. We thought you were making it up until a listener texted this link. It's a new trend, the quirky foam machine that lets you create your very own clouds in the shape of hearts, stars, birds. It's happened in China. They make personal clouds using a special foam machine. The fake weather phenomenon. Is created by mixing compressed air and a foaming liquid together.
Yeah.
Local businesses have been renting these machines to attract crowds during road shows and promotions.
You showed me a picture of it, and it is exactly what I saw. Evidently, you could do it several ways. You can just do what I saw, which were, they were shaped like clouds, like bubble clouds, but you can also do them in logos of businesses, or you could do stars or shapes, or whatever you said, any of those are possible.
The invention was first spotted at a street corner this month in Zhengzhou.
Well, I wasn't there. I've never been to Zhengzhou.
That's in China.
It's on my bucket list. Before I die, Wendy, you know where I'm going to go? Zhengzhou.
I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. A bird-shaped cloud.
It's next to Fogyu. Take a look at the map of China.
Was created. It just lifted off into the air as a crowd gathered to watch the spectacle. Pictures of the promotional stunt showed members of the public cutting away the clouds from the machine using a stick. So you have compressed air, and it's almost like, I don't know what to liken it to, like a form, like you push Play-Doh through a
That's
form
exactly.
and then you can cut it off and there are bubbles so they rise up.
But how do they, well, I guess they would, I'm trying to think of how they would project them, like how do you launch them, you know?
When it's cut, they lift up, they float away after air, a heart-shaped cloud floats away in the air after it's been released from the machine. So I don't know.
If you did that, like your machine would be at ground level, probably.
Yeah, but it's the compressed air. Air rises.
Oh, that's it.
And
that's it exactly. That's
so
why.
Cut it off like a one big form. You slice off something. Like if
a little
you
off
had,
the top. That's what
yes,
I'd say.
Like if you had a cylinder in this machine and you sliced one off, it would look like a hockey puck.
Right. Right.
That's what I'm trying to paint a picture. I'm thinking it has something to do with the Quicker Picker Upper Bounty. They have a whole thing set up on Pioneer Court.
They're set up in Pioneer Court, but they're right outside of us. And I think if they were launching them from there, we'd be able to look out the window and see it. And I'm not seeing anything out in front of us. And I'm also not seeing people looking up, looking dumbfounded like I was. Although, to be fair, that's my normal look.
You put the dumb and dumbfounded.
I just like to look that way.
All right, somebody's going to back you up here. His name is Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Confused.
What else is new?
Last Friday, we were headed over to the Green Door for lunch, and over by the castle, what used to be Excalibur?
Yeah.
Right across the street from it, because we were sitting in the car like, what is going on? These huge bubbles were going across the street in front of us.
Yeah.
And then we noticed that they were coming out of, like, the second floor window of the building across the street from the castle.
Yeah, the castle that's there.
That makes sense if you're launching it from above. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need a little height on it to make it travel a little.
Yeah, you have to because it's heavy and it's eventually going to sink.
And what were they shaped like, Bob? Were they shaped like clouds when you saw them or something else?
Well, they were just big, big bubbles, big clusters of bubbles.
Like right? foam, though. It was tiny, yeah. tiny, tiny little bubbles. Right. It looks more white and foamy. It looks like a cloud.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't figure out what was going on first because there were big, well, there were chunks like the size of, oh, maybe two fists or something like that. Like, what is this stuff flying out?
Right.
And but that, you didn't touch it because you're smart. Bill smart went up to it and grabbed it.
Right. Right. I did everything I'm not supposed to do.
That's good. Who knows what it's made out of. But right. yeah, you've got to launch that from above so it floats down because it's not going to float up.
Who's up on top of the Tribune Tower launching these babies?
Maybe it was NBC. Maybe it was Brent Miller up there.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe it was launching some balloons or bubbles.
Maybe.
I thought it was Lawrence Welk, the bubble machine, you know.
Yeah, it's a reunion of sorts.
Could have been. Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Bob, I'm glad you saw it, too.
Don't touch them.
I'm still going with my bubble drone theory. Patent pending, by the way. Patent
right.
pending.
Right. Send that to yourself quickly.
This is definitely CloudGate.
It really is.
CloudGate, near CloudGate. You have to go out and investigate. Do you want to go and see?
I can go out and see. Now keep in mind, again, I explained earlier, our parking lot is below level. It's below land level. And I was looking up another story or two and seeing these bubbles. So my guess is it was at ground level or maybe even higher.
Higher.
I can go around Pioneer Court and see if somebody's still doing that. You want me to? I can
sure.
do that. All right.
Or see if I'm... Because we saw like another video that was called Cloudvertising, which was genius. Logos, anything like that.
Yeah.
They had somebody lighting like a city Christmas tree and they released these giant snowflake clouds.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I hope ISIS isn't listening. That really is.
Don't even suggest.
I know, but... No. It looks so innocent and fun and lovely.
Right.
So it seems odd that Bounty is out here doing some kind of advertising campaign.
For their paper towels. Yeah.
So are they trying to draw people to this?
Oh, I wonder.
Did you guys see the light this week outside of the St. Louis Arch that everyone's kind of baffled about?
No.
I saw the
video. I know the story. Yeah, I do know the story. And they've not explained that, correct?
No,
right?
I haven't seen a viable explanation. The guy who shot the video said he had no idea what it was.
All right, you know what's going on. The aliens are coming here to remove Trump.
And they're bringing their bubbles.
Well, they brought him here, so it's their job to remove him
as
well.
Take them back.
Right. All right, we'll take a quick break and then other mysteries to solve. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I had mentioned, and I feel bad about it, you would always trust a bubble. And if somebody wanted to terrorize the land,
yes,
you would release...
And by the land, you mean the United States, the great U.S. of A?
The whole world.
Right.
You know, if you see a bubble... You
would trust the bubble.
And you would touch it like you did. You're drawn to a bubble.
But I have a childlike innocence, Wendy.
You know what's funny is he's not kidding.
I do.
So 734 says, who wouldn't trust a bubble? Haven't you seen The Prisoner? What's The Prisoner?
Oh, I forgot about The
For
Prisoner.
For all you know, Bill may have grabbed a new iteration of Rover.
Yeah.
Explain.
All right. That, you know what? It almost takes too much to explain. The Prisoner is a British television series with Patrick McGoohan from the 1960s. And it would take the rest of the show to kind of explain what that means, but I hadn't thought about the connection until just now.
And
but
there was a connection with bubbles
there is,
and terroristic
but,
things.
But if people haven't seen it, see it. It's only 7 or 8 episodes. And it's
The Prisoner.
Great. Yeah.
708 says, Bill, you and your unmatched enthusiasm for learning is adorable.
It's true.
It is.
I have exactly that, an unmatched enthusiasm for learning.
773, when they empty toilets midair
no.
in the airline industry.
I hope that's not what I touched.
It makes phone calls. People make phone calls.
Although,
that's
look at my
blue
fingers.
Eyes.
They're all shriveled up now. Isn't that weird? I wonder what that's all about. And there's only 3 of them now. I used to have 5. I guess I should be more nervous.
It does make me nervous that you touched them. But
is
I
it
mean,
that's not possible that it's
anything's
from
possible.
An airplane? That
oh, no. They Isn't that blue? Isn't that blue,
blue ice?
Ice?
Yeah, that's the car Steve Cochran drives, too.
It's blue ice. Thunder.
Whatever.
check your security tapes. Somebody said that they'll have the security tapes of you picking up a bubble.
That'd be, I don't know if somebody does review the security tapes here at the building.
Jabroni.
Is it our friend Jabroni,
maybe.
The security guy? All right, so that would be the weirdest video ever for
what
the security tapes.
What is this guy doing?
I'm just picking up, trying to figure out what's caused. Yeah, that would be a weird thing. But they must have it on tape down there.
We got to get that video. We have to put that at WGNradio.com. We have to get it.
I'll FOIA that right now.
All I kept thinking is, as I'm walking up, because we have a ramp that goes from the parking up to the level where the elevator is that somebody's going to see me just walking around with a bubble, and I'm cradling it like a baby because I didn't want it to melt. And what would somebody say to me when they saw that?
They'd go, boy, you have problems,
you
sir.
You got a hideous kid.
And 312, what a stupid show. Nothing to talk about. I beg your pardon.
When the bubbles invade, this is the first show. I think Mike and Mike may have also covered it. But we are one of two shows that covered it for anyone else.
630 Doris Day movie.
Oh, in the... This is
soap
when
in a swimming pool, massive bubbles, dump trucks to haul it off. Bubble foam floats into the sky.
I think in every Doris Day movie, there's a scene where she goes through a car wash in a convertible, and the convertible opens, and she gets essentially a bubble bath in her car.
But this is in a swimming pool, and then they had to have dump trucks come to get the bubbles, and then they floated up into the sky.
Whoever was writing Doris Day movies back in the 60s, they always had bubbles for some. There was always soap involved and bubbles involved. I don't know why. Maybe Procter & Gamble sponsored her movies. Is that possible?
Could be. Well, I don't know. I just know that if you come across a foreign object floating and it hits the ground, don't touch it.
Right. From now on, this is the last day I do that. I wasn't even a little bit nervous because I said to myself, what's the worst that could happen is I'll get a soap stain on my shirt or something. But then we've had so many texters who've said, please, the last thing you want to do is touch this.
Yeah. I mean, at least get a stick to touch it. You know, when you see a dead animal when you're a little kid.
Just prod the soap bubble with a stick.
So this guy in China rents out cloud machines to businesses for promotional purposes, and he can make a lot of money. It's a great idea.
If I were still a gambler, and I'm not, but if I were, I would say that's where my money would go, on the fact that some business somewhere in the city was shooting these things off, and some of them just floated down to where we park. That's my guess.
All right, well, here's how it works. It's a bubble machine, and clouds are separated from the machine by hand-cutting them horizontally, and bubbles in the clouds are created using a mixture of compressed air and a foaming liquid. The air in the bubbles expand as it flies away. The foam is formed into the shape of a cloud. According to reports, the clouds are able to float several hundred feet into the air. Different shaped clouds, like a heart-shaped one, can be formed by using different template boards at the top of the machine. And this is the interesting part. As the gas in the micro-bubbles expand, the foamy mixture becomes lighter than the atmosphere around it, so it floats up into the air. So they are releasing them in China on the ground, and they start floating up.
Right. What's the thing, and I don't know if clubs still do this, because my clubbing days are over, Wendy. I don't do the clubs anymore. Clubs would do this thing where they call it like bubble night or something like that, and then inside the dance club, they have these soap machines that create giant...
Bubble machine.
Yeah.
Like a fog machine, but better.
Right.
So I have one at my house.
You got one at the house?
Just for fun times on a Friday.
So you would go to the club, and then everywhere you'd go in the club, there'd be giant soap bubbles.
Yeah. Burns your eyes.
I bet it does, doesn't it?
You should wear glasses.
Yeah.
Safety glasses. It's a good look when you're dancing.
Safety goggles.
All right.
People would think I was in Devo.
D-E-V-O. Char, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Wendy.
We're solving mysteries here today on the Bill and Wendy Show.
Okay. I don't have any answers, or maybe I don't have a whole answer for you, but as far as bubbles go, I've kind of been playing with them. We had a day camp recently, and the kids were looking into science. But if you Google giant bubble wands or giant bubble mix, you can do it yourselves, and actually you don't get the foam response, but you can get bubbles that are 4, 5, or 6 feet long, depending on how large your wand is. But basically,
the larger your wand, the better, Wendy.
Okay.
No, it's the magic it performs.
Right.
Because somebody said that there was a girl at Lollapalooza making these ginormous bubbles.
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's what we did. The mixture is like a combination of water, glycerin, Dawn detergent, and some of them will call for cornstarch and a little bit of baking soda. Again, I was just making some with the kids last weekend, and it was amazing. The wand ends up to be, it can be a number of things, but two sticks, and if you can envision having a little eye hook at each end of the stick, and then you take a cotton, either fabric or rope, to create like a circular or a loopy type frame for the bubbles to form in. And the cotton absorbs the mixture really well, and then you just open or pull the string is put through the eye hooks, and as you draw it out of the solution, you can actually see the film of liquid that you've picked up, and then you just spread them apart, and the wind will pick it up.
That's excellent.
It's just beautiful.
What's the biggest one, Char? What was the largest bubble you guys produced?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It was probably 4 to 5 feet long, and it was, I don't know, my granddaughter's about 4 foot tall, and I think it was about half her.
Wow, that's impressive.
And again, the thing is, you don't want a lot of wind, but just a little wind, and it's just so neat.
Sure.
It's crazy to see. There were six of us out there, and I think the 60-plus were having as much fun
as the six.
Thank you, Char.
Sure.
Thank you so much, and I'm sure the cornstarch helps to make it last longer. So.
Do you remember when we were kids, Whammo, the good people over at Whammo, there was the regular bubble wand that everybody had, but they also had one that was like eight times the size.
Yep, it worked.
That was really cool.
But see, again, I think cornstarch, because you notice you'd make a bubble and it seems like as soon as you made it, it popped
gone.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So cornstarch
might
be the key.
That's the key to longevity. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then Ryan has the news, and then a lot more stuff. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Ryan, can I just ask you a very quick question about the O'Neill video? Are they giving a reason that the officer's body cam was not operating properly? Is there any explanation for that?
We've heard a couple things. First of all, Eddie Johnson was on with, the police superintendent was on with Steve Cochran today, and he said, you know, these officers just recently received these body cameras. So, you know, a part of it, he does not believe there was tampering. There may have been, some kind of not understanding of how
how to turn it on.
How the equipment works. And Andrea says that she had heard reports that perhaps it was damaged or destroyed. Eddie Johnson saying that when you watch the video, you'll see why it didn't work. So it's possible that maybe it fell off of this officer in the process of trying to apprehend O'Neill. But, you know, another one of these situations where it's like, well, why don't we have the full video? Why don't we have the audio? Remember from the Laquan McDonald situation, why didn't we have audio? Turns out the batteries may have been turned backwards. And, you know, part of it may be that they're just, you know, I mean, how many times do we mess up with technology, you know, and maybe these officers aren't thinking about it. You know, there's always the question, too, of potential tampering. But the superintendent didn't think that there was tampering involved in this situation.
They need to bring in, a special, IT staff to make sure these things are working. This is pretty important.
They're only valuable if they're working. So it's not the first time, as Ryan mentioned, that there's been a mishap like that. So,
but you've seen these officers walking around. You know, I mean, they've got a ton of equipment strapped to them now.
Yeah,
between the vests and all of the different gadgets and equipment they have, you know, I mean, it's just kind of another piece to that.
Yep, that's true.
Well, we will discuss that on the second half of the show, too, because I'm sure people have opinions on that.
Yep.
Now it's time to turn to TV, though. We talk to Kurt Wagner each and every Friday around this time. And, Kurt, what's wrong? You're stuck in traffic?
Again.
You've been.
It's taken me 50 minutes to get from the top of Lakeshore Drive to Belmont.
Because he's walking.
Is
you
that
should
what
take
it is?
A car.
Get in the car, Kurt. It's faster.
No, I am in the car.
Oh, you are.
I am in
the
car.
All right.
Well, let's do it by...
I could probably walk there faster, to tell you the
bet.
Truth.
I can imagine.
I'm still not at Belmont.
All right. Well,
you need to have your traffic report person add this to her list.
That Kurt's route is going to take a little longer than it normally takes him.
Well, it's Lakeshore Drive, southbound Lakeshore Drive, and no one's moving.
Oh. Is it construction-based? Is that why?
Yeah. Somebody on the... I complained about it on Twitter, and somebody, a friend of mine on a bus, said that they're down to one lane at
Belmont. Oh, okay. There's one. That's why. All right.
Let's do it by phone this week.
Yeah, we're fine. Kurt.
All right, here we are. Let's talk TV.
You have something nice to share with Wendy, some good news for Wendy when it comes to television. Go ahead. What have you got for her?
Your favorite, your beloved Big Brother series is going to have two seasons a year now.
Oh, I can't keep up.
I think they did that in the early days, didn't they? Yes, it seemed like they did, right?
Well, maybe then it's three. I don't know. Anyway, they're going to have a new season this fall, starting in September, but it's only going to be on CBS All Access. So you'd have to pay to see it, you know, the whatever it is, $4, $5 a month.
Will it be saucier because it's not on network TV?
It probably will be because... Yeah. Probably will, because I think CBS All Access currently airs the one of the after shows that they do, or one of the, I don't know what they call it, after hours, you know, snuggling episodes.
Yeah, I think this is a deal breaker for me. I've been looking for an excuse to get out of it. In fact, I am so behind on all the episodes of this season. My family still watches it, but I may have like cut the cord. Cut the cord to my brother.
The cord.
Oh, no. All right. Well, Kurt, on paper, this looked like good news, but now you've upset Wendy now.
Yeah, but if you have to pay for it, there's something about, even if it's $4 a month, there's something about paying for it that it's like, you know what? I'm not doing that.
I know.
Well, you know, this is the same CBS All Access. They're going to have the Good Wife spinoff in 2017. They're going to have the new Star Trek series in 2017. So what they're doing basically is trying to create content that will get people to pay for their streaming service.
This is starting to bug me. I mean, come on.
The extra charges?
Yeah, you could turn on a TV and watch it. Now you can't. The TVs are only monitors.
They will still have the summer season on regular television.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. And then I'm told, Kurt, you also have what you hope is good news for me. Wendy's blew up in your face.
Sorry.
I'm hoping this is a better outcome.
Well, Bill, you like the ABC game show block on Sunday night?
You know what? I do. I've watched it a couple times, and it's
fun
to see.
Celebrity Family Feud and $100,000 Pyramid, and they're all coming back. They were all renewed for new seasons.
You know what's strange, is to see, like, Alec Baldwin is the host of Match Game, and in my head, I mean, Alec Baldwin is a very versatile guy, but it's just weird that it's not Gene Rayburn, who's, you know, he's no longer with us. So
then how could it be?
It can't be him. But I'm just so used to it being Gene Rayburn asking the inane questions. And he does keep the long, thin microphone, Rayburn mic. Yeah,
I like that. Does have the long microphone?
Yeah, he does.
And is he doing a good job? I haven't seen it yet. Alec Baldwin?
He's really good as the host. Like, I thought, oh, this isn't right. It shouldn't be Alec Baldwin. He's an accomplished actor. You got to get a game show type guy. But he is. He's pretty good. And the quality of the guests, I'm trying to think of who was on a couple weeks ago, but people you wouldn't normally equate with being panelists on Match Game, that's who's panelists. I mean, they're more A-list types. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of my Twitter folks tweeted me the other day and asked if I had been watching it, and they said Alec Baldwin was great, but they weren't so thrilled with the guests.
Yeah, it's uneven. Some weeks, I don't watch it every week. I've seen it three times. Some of the weeks, the guests are a little more, I mean, you know, it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Everybody likes different people, but it's always a strange blend of people.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's really renewed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
all three of those. All three of those.
All right.
Shows are renewed.
Now, Kurt, there's a show that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and Wendy hadn't seen it, and I hadn't seen it, but because you're a TV critic, they show it to you like 10 years, 12 years in advance, and that's the show called Stranger Things on Netflix. We're both huge fans.
And
love
I'm
it.
Totally caught up. We started watching it. Me and the boys started watching it last Friday night and stayed up and watched all 8 episodes back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
That show is amazing.
Well, you know, it's getting so much love. Like, it seems like everywhere you look, people are talking about Stranger Things. And the critics really loved it, and people are sort of choosing the characters that's most like them, almost. You know, it's
like
sort of
Breakfast Club?
Yeah. It sort of hit that nostalgia thing, but then it's also hit that, you know, I was a nerd like that girl in high school, or I was, you know, like that kind of stuff. So yeah, if it hasn't already been renewed, I'm sure it's going to be. And then I saw Netflix did this fun thing where they brought in the cast members. They have a video where they brought in the cast members at different points to do an interview.
Yeah.
And they set it up so that like the radio in the room starts to turn on and the lights flicker. You know, it's all the Stranger Things that happen in the show. And then like something falls off the wall, and so it's really cool if you can find it on, it's probably on the Netflix YouTube page. It's really funny.
I will look for that, because every time it's a...
Go ahead.
every time the light flickers at our house, I start to freak out a little bit.
Because of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. And we came up with some nicknames. My son Michael, there's a young Marilyn Manson who's one of the kids, Chuck from the Goonies, little Don Cheadle, Sinead O'Connor, and Neil Young. So
the
look
kids
for
all
those
look
people.
Like the celebrities?
Yes.
I know, Kurt, that they've released or are about to release the soundtrack. For people who don't know, the show takes place in the 1980s, and you get a lot of great music from the 1980s played in the background, so they're releasing a soundtrack to Stranger Things. It captures, and you said this initially, and you're right, it captures, there's a Spielberg feel, you know, the way the kids behave toward each other in E.T. or in the Goonies. That's the feeling you get from these kids. It's a fun show to watch.
Yeah.
And scary.
I mean, it's got so many, yeah. It's got so many, you know, it's like a mashup of so many of those 80s shows. That
although there
loved.
Are some things, and Bill, I don't know if you're caught up on it, but
I'm 4 out of the 8.
My husband is bothered because that was 70s, that wasn't 80s. Like, they'll show something that was more 70s than 80s. I said, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's a little continuity error.
And you know what? Winona Ryder will steal your heart, or should we say shoplift your heart? Because I haven't seen her in anything in a long time, and she plays a very nervous mom. A lot has happened to her, and she's very nervous. Right. And you think to yourself, wow, at some point you can't play that same level for that many episodes, but she does, and she does a really good job of it.
And reminds me very much of Frankie Heck from The Middle.
Yeah.
She's got a Patricia Heaton thing going on, just with the clothes, the way she acts. It's very similar, in my opinion.
She was Spock's mom in the Star Trek movies.
Oh, that's right.
I think that's the last thing I saw her in.
She's very good in it. The kids are all great little actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Matthew Modine showing up doing a nice job, too.
He's the mustache-curling scientist.
Yeah.
It took me a while to figure out that was him, I'll be honest with you.
I saw his
name in the credits, and I'm like, where's Matthew Modine?
Yeah, no question.
Right.
And then, Kurt, there's another show that you mentioned. You know, every time we have you on, you're talking about new shows that are premiering, and you mentioned this one a few weeks ago, and I've been watching it on HBO and loving it. It's a very dark comedy. It's called Vice Principals. That's a fun show.
Yeah. it's a good time if you like people gunning for each other, I guess.
It's one of those shows, and I'm sure you've seen shows or movies like this, where it's really hard to root for anybody on the show because they're all very despicable people, and yet, and there's moments in the show that are just, you cringe because the topic is so awkward and the way they discuss or do something about it, and when it's all, and you could say the same, I think, about The Office. Remember when The Office started?
Yes.
You'd be embarrassed for Michael Scott's character, like, you don't say that
but
in front of people.
But then you felt so sorry for him,
too.
Yeah,
there's that.
Right.
Yeah. And who's in Vice Principals?
Walton Goggins.
From The Shield.
And Danny McBride. He's also a writer. I think he's the writer-creator.
He is. And, you know, Danny McBride always plays kind of the same version of the character. It's like that guy that you just go, oh, God, here comes this guy. I can't stand talking to this guy. So,
like the blustery, clueless, obnoxious guy. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And they're both vice principals, and both of them thought that they would get promoted to principal when their principal, who was Bill Murray, retired, and someone was hired from outside, and she, you know, you'd think that they're gunning for her job, right? So they're trying to bring her down, and you would think that the sympathy would be for her, but she's sort of just as despicable as they are.
Yeah.
And so that makes a fun dynamic.
Wendy, if you like despicable people.
I do.
Vice Principals on HBO is your show. All right, Kurt, stay where you are. Don't move in any direction.
He's stuck in traffic.
He's stuck in traffic. What can he? He's locked in. All right, more television talk in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. And Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you've not visited his website, you should. If you like TV, pretty much everything you need to know is right there at TVShowPatrol.com. Kurt, the Olympics, the opening ceremonies start tonight. The Olympics is one of those TV events like the Super Bowl or the Academy Awards that really can't miss, right?
Yeah, I always find myself distracted by it, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You end up watching it, and you know, they're really, NBC, all the networks of NBC are showing different parts of it, and they're doing tons and tons of live stuff because it's, you know, in Rio, so it's in the same hemisphere or whatever. Yeah, it should be exciting.
We've had trouble in the past with that when the Olympics are, like in Russia, say, what happens is you see a lot of things on tape delay, and because of the internet, a lot of times you would already know the outcome of the event while you were watching it, and that ruins it.
Right, exactly. I mean, and watching something live is always, I mean, especially a sports event, right? It's always more fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wendy asked a great question yesterday, and I don't know the answer. Maybe you do. In the past, Bob Costas has played a major role in broadcasting the Olympics. Do we know, is he on tap for this year as well?
I don't know.
Yeah, sure? Kevin said he was.
Oh, he is for sure, yeah? Okay,
yeah,
good.
I would imagine he is.
Good.
And there's a NBC has a website that has all, like, it's basically how to watch the Olympics, and it shows, like, what's on each network, because they have all, you know, MSNBC is doing something, CNBC, I think USA might have something on there.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
All of the, all of the NBC affiliated networks are doing stuff. And if you go to my site on the August calendar, when it has the Olympics opening ceremonies, I put the address of that website and a link so that you can find it if you're really into the Olympics.
And that's TV.
Which I know a lot of people are.
I'm going to watch it. TVshowpatrol.com. Bill, have you been watching The Preacher?
I saw the first episode, and that's as deep as I've gotten so far.
My son and my sister, there's a big age difference, but they do, they call it book club, and they discuss it afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, the season finale just happened, right, Kurt? Is it worth going back and catching up on this? I've heard such great things on The Preacher.
You mean Preacher? Just Preacher?
Preacher, yes.
The AMC thing? Yeah, it's very violent and sort of wacky and you know, has all these sort of supernatural things going on. But if that is to your taste, then you're going to love it, yeah.
I take it you don't, you don't like it. But.
It's a really weird show,
okay.
But it's fun.
I do, but I know a lot of people who just, they couldn't deal with it. It's based on a graphic novel and...
very graphic.
You know, and it... Yeah, and it's very graphic. Exactly.
But it ended, right? So I'll have time to binge and catch up before the next season.
I think six. Is there six or eight? Yeah, it's
I think it's eight.
And I'm trying to remember the actor's name. Dominic West, is that his name? Really good.
No, Dominic Cooper.
Dominic Cooper, I'm sorry. Dominic West is someone
Cooper,
else.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's been in a bunch of movies over the years, but fun guy to watch. All right, Kurt, turn around. I know you're stuck in traffic. Turn around, go home, come back next week. We'll get it done.
All right.
Thanks, Kurt. Have
a
good weekend.
I'm looking so good for you guys today.
Oh,
too.
Darn it.
Take a picture, take a selfie, and put it on our Facebook page.
Right. We're anxious to see you. Thanks, Kurt.
TVshowpatrol.com. I just wanted to make sure you get that because he wasn't in the studio to say that himself.
That's right. We'll take a break. We'll get some news in and then more show. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill, you got to help me with some Cubs stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm a Sox fan.
Right.
There was a man that was hired as their new pitcher, and you came to work saying that it was bothering you.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, the Cubs acquired a relief pitcher named Aroldis Chapman, who had been a member of the New York Yankees. He is, I believe, the hardest, fastest thrower in all of baseball. He's been clocked in the neighborhood of 105 miles per hour for his fastball. And he is, I'm not making this up, this guy really throws fire. You can't believe how fast and hard he throws. So under normal circumstances, because the Cubs are doing so well, adding a guy like that, you say to yourself, well, this is nothing but a good thing.
The magic piece to the puzzle they need.
Yeah, you can have him in a setup role. As a relief pitcher, you can have him in your closer role, and he's done both in the week plus that he's been here. The problem is, off the diamond, he's not the best guy in the world. He's had some incidents. Most notably one, he was living in Miami last year. He was a member at that time of the Cincinnati Reds, and he was living in Miami, and there were some domestic abuse charges. He got a gun and was shooting off a gun, and the girl he was dating at the time has a story about how he was strangling her.
Jeez.
And just not the kind of thing that you would associate with what the Cubs are trying their best to represent, you know, a wholesome winning baseball team.
It's pretty hard to, when I heard that backstory, not being a huge baseball fan, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And you understand why the Cubs want to acquire a guy who might be the fastest pitcher in the land.
Yeah.
But we found someone else who pretty much echoes your sentiments, and she's doing something about it. And her name is Caitlin Swyka. Caitlin, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're great. Doing great. Did what Bill say kind of hit home for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was a Sunday night when I first heard that the Cubs were probably going to make this trade, and that I kind of spent a couple days just figuring out, like, you know, how am I going to deal with this? Just because a lot of the guys on the Cubs, like you said, seem like pretty wholesome guys and good guys. And so, yeah, to bring this in, it was definitely a little tough to deal with as a fan.
So what are you going to do to make a bad situation better? What have you done?
Yeah, well, in kind of racking my brain of how to deal with this, I kind of thought of, why don't I just donate to, you know, help other victims of domestic violence, you know, every time he gets a save. So I kind of thought of that idea and put it on my Twitter page that I was going to donate $10 to a domestic violence organization every time Aroldis Chapman gets a save. Just kind of put it out there because I knew there were other Cub fans who felt the same way and thought they might want to join. But there's been just a ton of people. There's been such a huge response and a lot of people, more than 100 people saying they're going to join. So there's definitely a lot of Cub fans out there who feel the same way, but it seems like hopefully we can turn this into a good thing.
Caitlin, is there a reason this is so close to you apart from just being a Cubs fan? Is there something in there that speaks out especially to you?
No, thankfully I, you know, haven't really felt the effects of domestic violence in my own life, and I've been lucky in that way. But just being a sports fan in general, it seems like especially the last few years, you see all these cases of guys, you know, domestic violence or other violence against women. And it just, after a while, it kind of wears on you as a sports fan to figure out, you know, am I able to put this aside and keep rooting for this team? You know, we've had other cases in Chicago too, similarly to that. So I think that's kind of, I just kind of felt like I was fed up with it, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, did you feel guilty for watching the games and now that's why you wanted to do something about it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, honestly, at first this kind of came from a selfish place, just that I want to make myself feel better so I can cheer for him to get the last three outs and then turn around, give some money to hopefully help somebody who's going to need it and then kind of clean my conscience that way. But, you know, I think it's turned into this big thing where, you know, so far I've heard like kind of thousands of dollars already being raised for this. So it's definitely.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Caitlin, I'm sure I mentioned this the day that they made the trade with the Yankees. Is that if you're sitting in Wrigley Field and you've purchased a ticket, or even if you're sitting at home and watching on television or listening on the radio, you're rooting for the team, obviously, because it's your team and you want them to win, but you feel there's like a weird dinginess to rooting for a guy. You know, they bring in the closer and you're all hyped up because you want to see the Cubs get those last three outs, but you feel almost dirty applauding for a guy who's got this kind of track record.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think especially, as you mentioned, him being the closer makes this kind of harder. You know, if you brought in maybe a position player, he's going to go up once every nine guys and you can kind of mostly ignore it. But, you know, every single time he pitches, it's going to be a high leverage situation, probably in a game the Cubs really need to win. So that definitely made this hard.
Yep.
All right. So how do we get involved with this where we can donate money to? You are donating $10 to, is it Domestic Violence Legal Counsel of Chicago?
Yeah. So that's who I've chosen to donate to, just based on some recommendations from other people I know. I'm personally not trying to tell anyone where to donate to, you know, wherever people want to research and feel is a good cause and might be close to their heart. I've been kind of trying to keep track of where people are donating, and there's been shelters in, you know, several states, even in Canada, Australia, that people are donating to.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's I've been kind of trying to track it down. I've started a Twitter account. It's at @pitchin4ev. I'm kind of just trying to use that as a way to remind people, you know, when he gets a save, tweet out, hey, don't forget, you know, to donate for his sake there or whatever. And Domestic Violence Legal Clinic actually has set up, which you can find on their Twitter page or I think possibly through their website, an actual campaign, you know, specifically for people who want to tie their donations to Aroldis Chapman, which has raised, I think, almost $2,000 in a little more than a week. So if you want to do it that way, they have a fundraising page, but I'm kind of just encouraging people to donate wherever they feel right.
Okay, and what's your Twitter handle again for that page?
Pitch in, and then the numeral 4, EV.
Caitlin, I said this the other day when they first acquired Aroldis Chapman, and I want to say it again. And this is like the ultimate, boy, wouldn't it be nice if scenario. But I was thinking to myself, maybe here's a guy who isn't the nicest guy in the world, but maybe just by virtue of him being around better people, Joe Maddon certainly seems to have his head on straight, and I know Anthony Rizzo a little bit, and a couple of the other guys on the team seem to be really genuinely good guys. Maybe this could change his life for the better in some way, too.
Oh, absolutely, and I think in Theo Epstein's press conference about this actual acquisition, he kind of hinted at that same thing, that they think this is a good environment for him, and hopefully will have good influence on him, and I would love to see that happen. And I think the thing that bothered me about him that he hadn't shown a lot of remorse. You know, it would be a different situation, I think, if he had, you know, been more, acknowledged what he did wrong and, talked about steps he did to be better. He hasn't really done that yet, but I would love to see him, you know, get there and maybe other guys in the clubhouse can be a good influence in that way.
All right, you got people texting as we're on the air. Simply stop supporting the Cubs if you don't like their business and shut up. That's a lovely sentiment.
It is, isn't it? None of us want to do that. I mean, I'm not even going to say mixed emotions about them bringing this guy over. I flat out didn't want them to do it. As good as he is, I thought I'd rather not win the World Series with a bunch of really good guys than bring in a potential thug or two to do that. So none of us want to stop rooting for them. It's just you got to find a compromise. And I honestly think, Caitlin, you found the best compromise.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been... You know, when you spend 3 hours a day with the team for, you know, pretty much the majority of your life, it's not something you can let go of so easily. So I'm hoping this is a good compromise for people and will help raise some money for people who need it.
And then someone else has texted, she is awesome. Way to turn lemons into lemonade. And that's what you did.
Hopefully. I hope so.
All right. Pitch in the number 4.
DV
for domestic violence.
Correct.
Okay. I thought it was EV. So, yes. Pitch in number 4, DV. You can hashtag that. It's a Twitter account. Or make your donation, and it'll make you feel better. And in turn, you're raising money to help others that have been the victims of domestic abuse. Good work, Caitlin Swyka.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Yes. Thank you, guys, for having me on.
Absolutely. Have a good weekend, Caitlin. Thanks very much. Very smart idea. All right, let's take a quick break, a little bit more of the show, and then we'll turn it over to the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, I'm going to tell you a story, and you go, well, who would do this?
But who would do this?
I've done this.
Uh-oh.
Here's a story that I've actually done, but this is a weird version of it. I'll tell you their version, and I'll tell you mine. Police in Toronto issued a warning on Twitter on Wednesday night after receiving reports of a man walking around downtown with a gun. But the alert was updated 8 minutes later after officers discovered that it was, in fact, a cardboard replica of Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from the movie The Terminator.
Someone was carrying that around, or it was just propped up?
It was just propped up on a street in Toronto, maybe in front of a store or something. I don't know why somebody put it up there. But it was one of those cardboard cutouts. I think they call them standees for some reason, don't they?
Yes, we have a Chewbacca one in
our basement. Yeah, I've seen Star Wars characters. I've seen characters from Brideshead Revisited. I don't know why you'd want a life-size character of somebody from Brideshead Revisited. Even if you were the hugest, let's say we're the hugest Brideshead Revisited fan in the world, would you want a life-size cutout of? I don't know why they have those, but they do. So in this particular instance, it was that classic Schwarzenegger Terminator. You've seen it. He's wearing a lot of leather and sunglasses.
Like an ammo belt, too.
Yes, yes. But more than one person was panicked because I guess they're not great at depth perception because they're flat. And a real Terminator would have 3D depth. And so they called the police. Now, you hear a story like that and you say, who'd be dumb enough to fall for that, right? Years ago, I managed a video store in Downers Grove, and part of the thing of being the manager of the video store is all the movie companies send you like little things about the movie that they want you to put up in the video stores.
Promo material.
Yeah.
Displays.
Yeah. There were a lot of like mobiles, you know, that you would hang from a light that would have, you know, different paraphernalia from movies. There were a lot of countertop displays that you could put up to say to people, hey, there's a new movie, you rent it, right? And one of the things they would use would be these standees. They weren't always life-size, but sometimes they were. One of them that we got was one of, and I know you know this person, because she used to be on another radio station with us, Seika, adult film star, right? So they sent us this giant life-size standee of Seika. It's like 5.5 feet tall, But in Downers Grove, they didn't want us having that because it was X-rated material.
It was racy.
Yeah, so we couldn't put that in the store.
Was she naked?
No, she was wearing a clingy outfit. Is that fair?
Yes.
All right. A very
like
form-fitting.
Negligee.
Yeah, yeah. And her, I'll remember her arm. I'm going to use a big word here that I never use, but I'm going to use it. Her arms were akimbo.
On her hips.
Yeah. As if to say, how about
come
me?
Come get me.
Yeah, come and get me.
Did you take that home and put it in your room?
I brought it home because we were cleaning stuff out, and I put it in our house, and I didn't tell anybody in the house that I had brought it home. I brought it upstairs, and I left it like at the top of the landing where the stairs were, thinking, well, when I get home later, I'll just put that away. I'll put that in storage somewhere. Maybe trade it for the person who had the Brideshead Revisited standee. We could make an even swap. So I did that. And then my brother came home. Now, that was in the daytime. Then my brother comes home at night when all the lights are off, and he's walking up the stairs, and he looks up, and all he sees is the image of somebody. He doesn't know it's adult
Seika.
Film star Seika. He just sees the shape of a person with their arms akimbo. I've used it twice in one day. And he called the police because he was sure there was a woman or somebody standing there defiantly at the top of our stairs.
And the police came?
Yeah, of course they came. And then... and then they, you know, they wanted to buy it. They're like, how much would, like, what would that cost if we wanted to purchase that from you?
Did you give it to the police?
No, I didn't know what to do. I can't
believe he called the police.
Yeah, he called the cops. We had a squad there.
That's way worse than my story. We got a Daryl from Walking Dead with the crossbow. Dylan got it for Christmas, so it was in our family room, and it was just kind of in the corner, and we knew it was there, but when you just walk into the room for the
startles
first time,
you.
Jim punched it. He thought
he did?
It was, oh my God, somebody's here, and then he's like, get this thing out of here. You fall for it every time, but we didn't call the police.
Do you know, for years and years, my mom would put up at Halloween time, there was a scarecrow we had, and I don't know if they still sell these, I guess they do. Like, if you're buying something to put in your window, like a decoration like that, it's got little, like pivots where all the joints are, so you can form it, and like you can make the arms go one way, the legs
like
go another.
Like a brass brad that you could move
exactly.
Limbs.
So my mom would put that in the front. We had like by our front door, we had a glass window that was full, and she'd put it in there. And every year, it was there every year, every October. Every time any one of us would come down the stairs and immediately see that glass, and there was an image there, a 6-foot scarecrow, you would hear every morning, you'd hear somebody go, ah, like as they walk downstairs.
Boy,
we fall for it
things.
Every day. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then the Wintrust Business Lunch is coming your way next. We'll find out what they have in store for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy for the second half of our Friday show. A lot going on the show. Some of it of local interest, the bigger stories you've been hearing in the news. We're at 312-981-7200. Kim, can I ask a favor of you?
Sure.
I have not seen this video that we've been discussing in the news, not just on this cast, but all day long. I've still not seen the video. You have seen it. It was released about an hour and a half ago, right?
Yeah, well, just about at 11 o'clock.
Let's go through it a little bit. And again, I want to keep everybody aware of this. You're going to have a press conference fairly soon, and we'll be covering that press conference. We'll be carrying it here on WGN. But explain exactly what you're seeing in this video.
Basically, how it starts out is you can see, well, let's back up a minute. Paul O'Neill was allegedly driving a stolen car that was stolen from Bolingbrook.
Yeah.
And Chicago,
A black Jaguar.
Police caught up with him. A chase ensued. There were shots fired at the car. Then you see him get out of the car. He runs off. But the body camera of the police officer that was actually doing the shooting, for some reason or another, was not working. So we don't see the actual shooting of Paul O'Neill, but we can see the chase. We can hear shots being fired. And then after that, you hear the police officers talking about it, and there was some confusion because one officer walks up to another officer and says, they were shooting at us, right? And so we don't know, and it's kind of unclear if there was shooting coming from the car, if there was shooting coming from another area, or if the officers' shots that were being fired were close to other officers. So there is some confusion about that.
And that phrase in and of itself is a pretty important phrase. They were shooting at us, right?
Right.
Meaning... Were they provoked to shoot? What, I mean, why was gunplay necessary in a stolen? I mean, I guess it's a stolen car, but
yeah, you don't shoot someone to get the car back,
yeah.
Right?
Why don't you shoot out the tires?
And it kind of picks up. The video kind of picks up right as that's all coming to a crescendo, so you don't really kind of see what's happening before that.
Yeah.
And didn't the car crash, Kim?
Yeah, I think the car did crash, and then that's when he got out and started running.
And according to CNN, Chicago officers seen opening fire on a black Jaguar as it races down a tree-lined street. The car crashes. The driver bolts.
Yeah.
Officers chase him into an alleyway behind brick houses. Then multiple shots are heard.
Hey, Wendy, I'm going to interrupt you right now because we are... Oh, nope, not yet.
Not
sorry.
Yet?
We're awaiting a press conference from Eddie Johnson. Is that who we will be hearing from?
The chief of Chicago Police, Eddie Johnson.
We're going to hear from Eddie Johnson first at 1 and then the O'Neill family at 2. So that's the plan at the moment.
All right, we'll just jump in. Multiple shots are heard. This is after the car crashes. Officers are chasing him into an alleyway behind between brick houses. Multiple shots are heard. And then on the tape, get down, hands behind your back, you shot at us, expletive. Moments later, officers curse at 18-year-old Paul O'Neill as they put him in handcuffs. Hands behind his back, his arms appear limp. The back of his shirt is covered in blood. An officer holds his foot on O'Neill's leg. O'Neill died from those injuries. And the actual shooting, which occurred on July 28th, isn't seen in the footage because, as we've mentioned, the officer's body camera didn't record the moment that he opened fire. However, police say the officer who shot O'Neill in the back violated policy.
But I will say, in the video, the officer says right away, I shot him. You know, he did.
He's not trying to hide anything.
He's not hiding anything, and he's actually, you know, kind of upset because he said right away, you know, I'm going to be... with a lot of expletives, I'm going to be put on death duty for 30 days. And you
and
know,
that happens anytime an officer shoots anyone.
Right. That's the protocol. And then, you know, another officer or someone walks up to him and says, you know, just calm down. He says, I'm cool. So, I mean, you know, they're frustration.
Does he seem more upset, though, that he's going to be on desk duty for 30 days than the fact that somebody has been shot and potentially killed and he ended up being killed? What is his tone when he's saying he's swearing and he says, oh, I'm going to be on desk duty for 30 days?
It's probably hard to determine.
I think he was kind of confident in what he did. Like, yeah, I think
he felt it was the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, can I say that there was remorse in his voice? No, but I think he was probably on his guard at that point.
All right. I would just hate for him to feel more upset over the fact that, oh, great, now I have to be on desk duty for 30 days.
I think he was just reacting to the whole situation.
All right.
I mean, you know, you gotta think that cops do not want to go. They want to go through a day without shooting someone.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Why don't we take a quick break and then we'll be ready to roll when the press conference comes. And Kim, keep us posted. We can always.
Sounds like a plan. Also, you know, we almost. What I thought was going to be Eddie Johnson happened to be protesters, and they're standing in front of police headquarters trying to block the camera views of Eddie Johnson when he comes out. So we'll see how this plays out.
Okay. All right.
All right. Quick break.
Uh-huh. And then we'll carry that press conference next. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Kim Gordon is in the newsroom monitoring a press conference from Eddie Johnson.
Yeah, and I have a little update on that. So, you know, we were ready for this press conference, all the mics, Superintendent Johnson was ready to speak, and there was a group of protesters blocking his view to the cameras, and then they started protesting, yelling some obscenities, pretty much disrupting the press conference. So Superintendent Johnson has now walked away, headed toward back into police headquarters, and it looks like now he's having a small press conference. So I'm not sure at this point whether we will be able to carry it live or not. We will get his comments later, and as soon as we get him, we'll have him on the air. So there's kind of some unsettled business going on there at police HQ.
Kim, the original site for the press conference was what exactly?
It was supposed to be right outside the police headquarters. I don't know if you've been to police headquarters, but when you walk in there, there's kind of like an open, paved area.
Yeah.
It's kind of large.
Like a courtyard kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like just an open plaza, and that's where they were having it.
But isn't police headquarters large enough to accommodate the press for something like this? Like
right, they could probably have walked in and just, you
that's
know,
I'm curious
moved
why.
It inside, but maybe he feels like this is the best thing to do to let people vent.
Oh, maybe.
So
Not a bad idea. And there are a lot of texts coming in, and I have some questions. I am not a police officer. I do not come from a family of police officers, and I respect them. I mean, mm-hmm. if I get pulled over, I say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, here's my whatever.
Right.
But so when a police officer shoots someone, isn't it supposed to be when they feel their life is in danger or threatened? I mean, I know we watch TV shows, someone steals a car, they get out, they start running, the police shoot at them. But in real life, that's not supposed to be the case.
Well,
is
not
it?
Just their own lives, but if they feel that there's a threat to, you know, society or people nearby, then I guess it becomes a more warranted action.
But an unarmed man running around?
Yeah, that's where it gets a little...
And we don't know
sometimes.
If Paul O'Neill was armed. There are conflicting reports. I think that's a lot of what we're waiting to hear about.
Yeah.
And then the O'Neill family is supposed to be speaking. Kim, is that correct? Later on this afternoon
yes,
at 2?
Yes, they're supposed to speak at 2.
This has got to stop.
It does seem to be frequent. It really does. All right. So at the press conference that we're still waiting to see if it takes place or not, or if they move it inside, or if they just postpone it or whatever, what are we going to get? We're just going to get the police's version of this, Kim? Is that what's expected? Is
well,
there more than that?
Well, he did release a statement, and that statement is on WGNradio.com, so I don't know.
Eddie Johnson
if
did,
he's,
you mean?
Yes, yeah. If he's going to talk about his statement or if he's going to speak about, you know, Paul O'Neill's family's attorney is accusing the police of a cover-up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he said, obviously, that he's defending police, saying it was not a cover-up, that they're following protocol. So, you know, maybe he's just going to give his stance on exactly how, why the body camera wasn't working. And we don't know the reason.
Are we expecting, at the later press conference, the 2 o'clock with the O'Neill family, are we expecting them to speak through that attorney, or will they be speaking
No,
on
they were
behalf?
Actually supposed to speak earlier, along with the attorney and the family's representative, the family spokesperson, Jamal Green, and we heard from them earlier. Mm-hmm. The family, after they saw the video, was so distraught they left without making a public comment, and so now they're coming back to make their public comments.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know anything about Paul O'Neill from what I'm seeing at this point. But if he stole a car and he's a bad dude, he deserves to go to jail, not be dead.
Yeah, we've received several texts saying various versions of that. And I don't know how you could disagree with it. Several people have said, hey, if you're committing a crime, whatever happens, happens, words to that effect. But that's true. And I don't think the police's, I don't think their goal anytime there's a crime is to shoot anybody dead. It just seems like we've had way too many incidents where something happens that leads to somebody ending up dead. And that's unfortunate. It doesn't even begin to cover it.
I know.
There's no word. It's unfortunate to the nth degree. I don't know how you get that point across.
And 630, I believe technically a person caught committing a felony can be shot to stop them from fleeing. That's what we see in TV shows, unless you're a police officer. I don't know what the rule is.
Yeah, I don't know exactly myself. I think it's such a judgment call, isn't it? And Kim, I have to ask this. This has not come up, but I guess it's on a lot of people's minds. The police officer or officers who did the shooting, do we know their racial, were they black officers? Were they white officers? Do we know?
It looked to me like the majority of officers were white.
Yeah.
There may have been a Hispanic officer. It's kind of hard to tell from the video, possibly one African-American police officer, but it looked like the majority of the officers were white.
Okay.
Let's get Martha on the line here. Hi, Martha. This is another situation going on in Chicago.
Yeah, and you know what? I kind of agree with you, Wendy. First of all, I come from a family of police officers, okay? And the only thing that upsets me is when you're I'm white, okay, but when you're watching the news, it just seems like it's always, well, it's going to sound terrible, but like the poor black man. And my thing is, the police are not shooting a black school teacher, usually, carpenter, fireman. This person was an auto thief. And then he not only ran, he hit 2 police squad cars. Now, grant you, I don't think they should have killed him. He didn't deserve to lose his life. But, you know, if he never stole the car to begin with, he wouldn't be dead today.
There's something to be said for that. I was telling you, Bill, off the air, it's like you abide by the rules, because if you break the rules, sometime you're going to get caught, and either you're going to go to jail or you risk getting shot. White, black, red, green, exactly. Any color.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's the part that gets me is it's always, you know, and sometimes you'll be watching the news. And again, this sounds horrible probably to say it, but it's frustrating because you'll be watching the news and they'll go, oh, you know, the mother, the child, the relative will get on, or the lawyer, and say, oh, you know, poor Johnny Smith. And then maybe a couple of days later, you'll find whoever is the chief of police get on and say, yeah, but he's got a record like yay long. And in talking to some of my family members, they're almost to the point where they're saying, well, can't do nothing. Let them go.
If I was a police officer, I would never pull anyone over, ever, because you never know what you're walking into. Martha, thank you very much for your comments. Let's take a quick break, and we have some news. We're following if and when a press conference from Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson is happening. The O'Neill family will be speaking sometime this afternoon, and your calls all coming up. 312-981-7200. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's 720 WGN. Thanks so much, Kim. Bill and I were watching the video, and everybody on the planet is watching it right now, and it starts buffering. I can't get through it all.
It's so disturbing to watch, and maybe it's because we're a generation that's been brought up on reality television shows, or just television shows in general, that even when you're watching this, and you know the after effect, a man died. He got shot and he died.
18-year-old.
You're watching it, and it seems surrealistic. I will say this. I hadn't thought about it until I watched it, but watching with you really hit it home. It all just happens so fast, and I imagine that's what goes on.
That's the thing. It happens in an instant, and you have to make such split-second decisions that are make or break for the life of a police officer, for the life of the suspect,
of the public.
Everybody.
He's running through a residential area. He stops the car, car that Paul O'Neill, it crashed. So he gets out of the crashed car, and he's running through somebody's yard. And I imagine if you're a cop at that particular moment, you're seeing a guy who's already committed a crime. You don't know if he has a gun or not. You just know he's running somewhere where potentially there's people living in that house. They might have kids, they might not. But you think to yourself, what's this guy going to do next? I'm not defending either side. I'm just saying, because of how quickly it all happens, I can't even imagine. You know, you're doing your best to think logically at that moment if you're the police officer. But it's so hard to watch, you know.
Brian, thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I need to say I have not seen the video. I'm driving in my car. My thoughts are, for the person that answered the phone was, and I haven't been here for most of the time, so I didn't hear all of your previous conversations for the last 20 minutes, but I just turned on when you were saying this has to stop, and when I say you, I meant you, Wendy.
Yes.
Say, you know, this has to stop, this has to stop. And my thoughts are is that I have two brothers that are Chicago police officers, so I have to say that to let you know where my sides and where my loyalties lie. But also being very objective, I think that this has to stop is that's not the policeman's fault.
I didn't ever accuse the police. I think both sides have to somehow come together. We have to respect police, and police have to do their jobs and respect people too. And majority of them do.
And I completely agree. And I think in this case, they may have been doing the same thing. I think, and for example, one of the things how you continue to say, you know, this poor 18-year-old kid. Well, when a person who steals a car from Bolingbrook drives at who knows what rate of speed to avoid many different suburban police officers into the city, and then, correct me if I'm wrong, but allegedly tried to run over or hurt the Chicago police officers, they don't know that's an 18-year-old kid in there or a
Absolutely.
Football player or a gymnast. He's a criminal that just tried to run him over. And that's attempted murder. And I would think that in the letter of the law, they would then have that opportunity, as Bill was saying, that yeah, they don't just have to fear for their life. They're there to also protect others,
right,
so that other lives are not taken by this criminal, that it might be a justified shooting, and very well could be. It does stink that this 18-year-old person is no longer with us, but that's not the policeman's fault. Those are the actions of an individual, whether that individual be 70 or 35 or 18. A police officer doesn't know the age of the individual. They just know the crime that's being committed and what they were told and what they're responding to. And
I don't think I said this poor little 18-year-old kid. I don't know that if I said that, and if I did, he doesn't deserve to be dead is all I meant to say.
I don't know if you said poor, but you did say you continue to say 18-year-old as in, and I think you're trying to insinuate that he's just an 18-year-old child or kid.
No, 18's an adult. I'm just giving the facts. He's 18 years old. It's in the story. Okay. That's why I say it.
Okay. Then that's fine. I think, again, my point is that the police officers don't know the age of this individual. All they know is
he's doing something wrong.
Called to a very bad situation. And, you know, anytime someone calls 911, it's not a good time.
Right.
They're called for really bad things. But I do want to say again, as I have not seen it, and I think that at least the both of you said, and I'm giving you credit here, is that it happened so fast. And I think that's the other thing, is that all of these police officers are trained. They're trained to make split-second decisions. And in this case, they made a split-second decision that unfortunately ended this young man's life, and I think that is unfortunate. I'm sure the police officers feel bad as well, but doesn't necessarily mean it was the wrong decision.
I am not here to judge, and I'm at this point, I thought Eddie Johnson had mentioned that this was done incorrectly. It was not, this officer was not following protocol.
And again, I haven't heard that or seen it. As I said, I'm driving in the car, so I don't know that. I guess the reason for my call is the words that I heard you say, Wendy, of you saying this has to stop, and insinuating the police violence. And
nope.
Again, I don't think it's on the police. I think it's on all the criminal activities that are taking place.
I 100% agree with you, Brian, so you must have jumped in late. I know a police officer wants to get home and have dinner with his family. I know that. And they're there to
yes.
protect us. I have nothing but respect for police officers.
But can I also jump in with this, Brian? And
sure.
I'm trying my best not to take sides, but if you're the black community and it becomes such a regular thing to hear that somebody of your own race, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you live here, so you're hearing the same stories I'm hearing, that so many black people, many of them criminals in this particular instance, sadly, are being shot by white police officers, you could see where there'd be a little bit of disdain.
I agree with that, but I think that is mostly, in my opinion, media-driven, and I don't have the facts in front of me, but I do recall reading a Chicago Tribune article within the last year of the number of police shootings, I believe, last year in the city of Chicago that resulted in death was less than 20. And I would go back to, I think, the greater data and statistic that you're mentioning, Bill, and I believe that many of the police departments, and most specifically Sheriff David Clark from Milwaukee, states this often. He says, and this is a very unfortunate thing, but you're throwing statistics out there, is that 95% or more of all shootings and death through shootings that are perpetrated upon a black individual is committed by another young male black individual.
Yeah, I know.
Although you can't unsee the Laquan McDonald video, 16 shots were fired, and explain that one. You can't, Brian.
Well, you can't explain 16 shots, and I agree with the 16. It seems very excessive. But knowing
bit.
The stories,
yes.
having brothers that are Chicago police officers, that, again, people were called to respond to that young man, who was trying to break into cars, had a knife. When a regular citizen approached him, he turned around, growled like a bear at them, and that's why they called 911. And then he attacked police cars with police officers in them with a knife trying
pretty
to
far away,
them.
Pretty far away, and tons of cops on the scene. Brian, we have to run.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
I hope your brothers remain safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm not dissing the police officers.
No, of course. And I just want to say, I know we have a lot of calls, and I don't want to get in the way of those calls. But another thing, upon watching the video, is I kept thinking, as Paul O'Neill gets out of the car that had crashed, and he's running through a yard, essentially. He's running through a
going
driveway.
Going up somebody's driveway with their car
right
there.
Right. So then I'm thinking, if that family, this is hypothetical, but if that family is in the yard, and there's kids in the yard, and you're the police, and you see this guy going into somebody's yard, the gate is closed. You don't know what's going to be in that yard. Let's say there is a family in there, and somehow that family is harmed. Then everybody would be saying, well,
why
the police
didn't
had a
him?
Chance to take that guy out, and they let him keep going, and now a family or somebody in the family is dead. Again, I know that that's hypothetical, but I'm
that's
just
a great
saying,
point.
Because it all happens so fast, and you don't know what you're going to see next, if you're the police officer apprehending this guy, you don't know what's coming. So
why do you run? I mean, I know you're not going to get away. You were behind the wheel of a stolen car. You're already going to get nabbed for that. Why do you run?
I would just be guessing because I've never stolen a car, but I would just think you're hoping upon hope that somehow there's an escape route that you can find. That seems to be the way you'd be thinking.
Hi, George.
Hi. How are you?
We're
great,
good.
Good to talk to you guys. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
In response to the gentleman that was just talking and the woman before him, the thing that fascinates me is neither one of them has seen the tape, and they're both talking about, well, I have no information on this, but this is what I believe. I respect the fact that the man has, police officers in his family, and therefore he has a certain opinion. But there's a problem here, in my opinion, and it's not just in Chicago. It's across the country. There's these incidents are taking place all the time. You can see, and it's not just black people. It's on the internet. I think that cops, are far too free with a gun. I watched the tape with this kid, and this guy was very concerned about you calling him a kid. He is a kid. He's 18 years old. He was screwing up, but he's just a kid. He did something really stupid, but I don't think he deserved to die for it.
Yeah, I agree.
And what I saw, there were waving guns and shooting. The kid didn't have a weapon. He wasn't shooting back.
We don't know that, though. I don't know that we know that for a fact yet.
Well, from everything I've heard, not just in hearsay, but, in the media and watching the tape, it didn't appear to be the case. So if that's not clear yet, maybe I'm mistaken there, but nonetheless, it just seems a drastic course of action for the situation. And beyond, it's not just him. There was the woman who was shot because she had called that boy last year who had mental illness. And
yeah.
The cop is down
right.
on the ground, shooting up into the air, and this poor woman gets killed in her doorway, and they kill a kid who's got mental.
And I believe they found fault in that, too, and there's been some training with police officers. It's not an easy job, George. I don't know. I could never be a police officer.
I totally appreciate that. I would never be a police officer. I have no desire. But, you shouldn't be a police officer if you need to, if you're too scared and you're opening fire on, mentally challenged people and middle-aged women.
I don't think that was the point at the beginning when they arrived. And I believe those officers have dealt with some repercussions from that, as they should have. George, we don't know what the answers are. I mean, people have to obey the law. Aren't we taught right from wrong?
That's the problem is, the terrible thing happened in Texas where these officers were killed. It shouldn't have happened. A deranged person took action. Nobody has spoken to the fact that that took place because of all of this. This is a problem, and they're never, it came back to the, officers' families and so on and so forth, and of course that needs to be said, but, that terrible thing happened because this is happening all over the country.
Well, thank you.
Some deranged person took it upon himself to act that dramatically, but I haven't heard anybody speak to, some ownership from the police about this. So.
Well, thank you for your call. And I think Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson was going to have a press conference and comment, and there were protesters that were in the way of the cameras, which I understand that, too.
Yeah.
People are mad.
You know, there's this scene that we've all seen 1,000 times in movies and TV shows whenever there's a scene where there's somebody training to be a police officer where they're in front of, they're at a thing that looks like an alleyway or a storefront, and images pop up in the windows and the doors, and some of them are thugs and they quickly shoot, but then it always ends with somebody going, well, congratulations, you just shot a librarian.
Right.
So I don't know how much of that is accurate to the training of a police officer, but when you watch a scene like that, you realize it's not even split second. It's a millisecond where something pops up and you have to quickly say, good guy, bad guy, what do I do in a situation like this? And it played out. I mean, that's exactly what you're seeing with this Paul O'Neill video, is the cops trying to determine exactly in such a quick rate of time, what do we do here? What happens?
But he did break the law and he stole a car.
He did.
And what happened to, I thought they weren't, police were supposed to not do chases anymore because it could injure people in the way. Didn't they talk about making it not proper to do police chases? I thought they did away with that.
Yeah, they altered some of the rules of exactly the protocol, and maybe that's what they're referring to when they're saying he didn't follow proper procedures in this case. I'm still not 100%
sure
what exactly the procedure that wasn't followed properly. So we are awaiting a press conference, and I know you're on hold, and we're going to get to your calls, I promise. That's coming up in just a minute. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. It's Bill and Wendy. Let me just quickly catch you up and then back to your phone calls and your texts. Earlier, Eddie Johnson was scheduled to speak. This is in regards to the Paul O'Neill video that was released earlier this morning. That press conference has been postponed a little bit. There were some protesters there. That press conference postponed momentarily. However, Paul O'Neill's family is also scheduled to speak sometime after 2 o'clock. We'll carry that for you, but we've been discussing the video and everything having to do with it, so we're taking your calls and your texts.
And Eddie Johnson, the police superintendent here in Chicago, said the officers involved all have been on the force for 3 years or less, and his quote is, I know how quickly you have to make decisions, so if it's an honest mistake, then we will get them training, coaching, mentoring, and get them back out there. If it's intentional misconduct, they have to be held accountable for it.
And Wendy, I know you were asking me off the air if there was discussion about the police not following protocol. And one of the things is that they did go against city policy because there is a policy that explicitly bars police from firing at a moving car. But we don't know, you know, since he crashed that car. So, yes, they did violate city policy by firing at the car. But we don't know what transpired before that.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to say if they did or they didn't. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I mean, really, just these decisions that have to be made. What if the 18-year-old bailed out of the car and then that car careens into someone's house or kids playing in the street? I mean, if you're a police officer, don't you want to eliminate the possibility of that happening?
Of course, sure. It's a series. And when you see the video, if you've not seen the video yet, it's a series of split second decisions,
yeah,
one after another in very close succession.
All right. Oh, boy. Everybody wants to talk about this. It's not good going into the weekend. There are going to be some angry people on both sides of this. Rich, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thought was this morning when I was listening to the family spokesman, and he made a reference that the Chicago police are the enemy. I think that our race relations in the past 20 years have diminished versus gotten better.
The police should not be anyone's enemy, but you have to almost understand the feelings of the black community at this point in time.
Well, I do, but I don't think that's a proper statement to be making in public in a forum of that nature.
It does seem like a harsh way to refer to the police officers.
Yeah, maybe we've been having some problems with the police force lately, and this is continued proof. But yeah, the police are not your enemy.
And Rich, those were the words that were used, because I don't remember that part of it, but help clear my memory on this. That they were referred to as the enemy.
That's the right. That is correct. You go back and listen to it.
All right. All right. It is. Yeah,
thank you, Rich.
It is alarming.
It's
everything about it is.
I know.
I mean, it's just there's. I mean, you can't really side with anybody in this because it's, as we've pointed out, it's beyond tragic that somebody that young has lost their life. But I also, I mean, you can't help but feel for the police officers when you watch this video because everything is just happening so fast. I mean,
and they are trained to react in
of course,
a
right.
quick fashion.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's a judgment call. Everybody's saying if this kid was white, would it have had the same outcome? I don't know.
It's sad that that has to be a valid question, but it is kind of a valid question, you know?
I'd like to say, yes, the same thing would happen. A kid who crashes and runs away and cops chase him,
yeah.
they're trying to eliminate the threat to anyone else. Am I that naive?
I don't know if it's naive. It's just, the thought has, I mean, as you hear the story play out, and I had to ask the question earlier because I didn't know if the police officer, the one that they believe is the one who was the shooter, if he was black or white, the police officer was, that really shouldn't enter into the equation,
you're right.
But it has to.
These days, it totally does. It does make a difference. Larry, we only have a minute or so here.
Well, the point that I wanted to make to you is that, you know, you guys are all throwing out your opinions right now in regards to whether this person is guilty or not guilty and whether the police officer was in the wrong or not in the wrong. And, you know, the media is just giving too much voice ahead of finding out what really happened. So now everybody's getting pissed off about this person not getting his day in court because he got shot, and we don't really know what happened. So that lends to the next person saying, well, I'm not going to listen to the police officer. You know, when I was growing up, my parents said, if you get pulled over while you're driving your car, you're respectful, you do the things that you're supposed to be doing, and, you know, you handle it after the fact if something else happens. Today, a African-American gets pulled over, and the first thing they do is, why are you pulling me over? Well, probably because you did something wrong. And if it wasn't for that reason, then we'll deal with that after the fact.
There are white people that get pulled over that say that, too. And I don't understand it. You get pulled over, you follow the protocol. These are laws we have. This isn't the old Wild West. And then if a police officer is a jerk to you, then... you know what? Stay alive and press some charges afterwards.
Right. I mean, you know, you were talking about the Laquan Daniels shooting. You know, that officer, I don't care if he was in the right to begin with, but when he shot 16 times, he's got to go to jail. He's done. And I'm a white person, you know? So from that perspective, you lost control over that situation and shot somebody 16 times. You're an idiot. And, you know, it just
have you watched the video, Larry? Larry, have you watched the video that's been released?
I watched the video. That police officer, whether originally, if he shot him once because he thought something, but when he went and shot him 16 times.
No. I'm talking about today's
Paul O'Neill. Paul O'Neill video.
No, I've not seen that because I don't care.
So you're offering your opinion without knowing the facts? Because if you watch the video, you can see and make some judgment calls that there are things we can't see.
No, because you cannot make a judgment call based on just the video. You have to make a judgment call based on additional facts, look at what's going on, what happened. You know, the video doesn't tell the whole story. And that's the problem. You end up having these conversations, and, you know, we build up all this animosity between the races because, you know, they're not getting a fair shake and the police officer's not being attested to. And, you know, the fact that you were asked the question, you know, Were the police officers white? Well, there were a lot of white officers, and there were a Hispanic officer, and maybe there was some black officer. Doesn't matter. They're police officers. I don't care if they're black, white, Hispanic, whatever. They have a duty to uphold the law, and they have to be restrained in doing that.
And they have to be accountable. And if it's someone who's there to uphold the law and they don't, they need to be removed. Larry, thank you very much for the call. We have to take a break.
We do have to take a break. We'll get the news in and further discussion on this. If you can stay on hold, we'd love to hear from you. We're 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, we're talking about a major story here in Chicago, and that's the Paul O'Neill video. It was released earlier today. A lot of people with some very definite opinions on it, and we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line.
And a text here. We just saw a bit of the press conference, including Paul O'Neill's sister, Brianna, and the family spokesperson, Jamal Green, and their attorney, which I didn't get his name. Someone has this question. Why doesn't the media ask the hard questions of the spokesman? What are you doing to help these young men not to put themselves in the position to be confronted by police? Doesn't that seem obvious? If you are being targeted, don't do something to make that target bigger.
Right. Oh, yeah. It does seem obvious, but hasn't this been a problem?
Well, and his attorney has said there's no question in his mind that there were criminal acts committed, but that doesn't mean that somebody had to die for it.
Right.
And I agree with that.
Right. Here's another text from 630 about no tragedy would have happened had this kid not stolen a car. I said that a few minutes ago. Is you can ask all the questions and try to figure this out as best you can, but at the bottom line is you did have a guy committing a criminal act, and as we just said a second ago, it shouldn't end in death. Though, so I don't know how you fix that. It's
don't
such
break
a
the law.
Yeah,
that's really it.
Right. Don't break the law is the best way to fix it. But in a case where somebody does break the law, like Paul O'Neill did, what do you need to do to make it
so you don't die?
Yeah.
Really, first things first, don't break the law. Second thing, I guess, do you run out of fear because you think the cops are going to kill you? Then maybe show some respect and stop and say, hey, I don't want any trouble.
If you're a criminal and you know that there is now a mandate that says if somebody's fleeing from a crime, that the police, you take that out of the equation, that they can't shoot at you. If you're a criminal, you then have the advantage because
right.
then you say, all I need to do is outrun these guys and I'm home free.
It is really weird that the camera malfunctioned.
Well, that's weird. And then I'll tell you the part that disturbs me the most, and it did from the very beginning, and the more I hear about it, the more it disturbs me, is if one of the police officers had more remorse about the fact that he'd be doing desk duty. I don't remember the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of,
now I'm going to be 30 days on desk duty.
If that was his main concern after shooting a guy down, something's wrong there. Because that his main concern should have been,
oh my God, I killed
took
that
a guy
kid.
Out. That I don't know. That doesn't that.
I have the soundbite if you want to hear it.
Could you play that, Kim?
Yeah, sure. Well,
I shot.
Okay.
He almost hit him.
Let me start it over.
All right.
Desk duty for 30 days now. I shot.
Okay.
He almost hit him.
Just relax. We'll get a sergeant.
Oh, I'm straight.
Okay, the woman there seems very distraught.
Yeah.
That's one of his coworkers.
Well, she seemed very distraught.
Right.
Like, oh my God, someone's been shot. He, just listening to his voice.
Now I have to do desk duty for 30 days. That seems.
And the camera, did he not think his camera was on?
This is such a huge guess, but I'm guessing with all that had just taken place, you're probably not thinking exactly what is and isn't being recorded. You're just reacting as naturally as you could possibly react. But I'm not positive that's the best reaction after you shoot somebody is to go, oh, now I got to sit behind a desk for 30 days. That's upsetting.
And Danny, your question involves the officer who did the shooting.
He's still to live with this rest of his life. Maybe what he was up, he really wasn't thinking. Because a good friend of mine, my son, his friend is a cop, and he was in a situation where he almost had to shoot somebody, and he had a Fitbit on, and all through everything, he was fine. When it was all over, said and done, he looked at a computer, his heart rate skyrocketed. When he started realizing what he went down, these poor cops got a split second to think this kid should have ran. right or wrong. You don't run. You stop.
But, Danny, did you hear? I don't know if you heard that audio of the officer who said, yeah, yeah, I shot him. Now I'm worried I'm going to be on desk duty for 30 days. It didn't sound like he was very remorseful. Again, I can't put words into people's mouth, but I know what I heard.
I heard the same thing, okay, just before you came on to me. You know, that maybe he wasn't thinking right. I don't know what happened there, but, you know, he just took a life. Maybe his mind went a little crazy for that split second. And he realizes that, you know, no matter what happens, it's always the cop's fault nowadays. Doesn't make a difference, especially if it's a white guy. It's his fault. He shouldn't have shot him. You know, how do you think these cops feel when they're doing their job, and if it has to be a black guy that they shoot, no matter what, it's their fault. They should have not shot him. Let him get away with the crime. You know, shoot him in the knee. Shoot, come on, split second. You're running. How do you know? And they're trained at the academy to shoot center mass. Always.
It does change things up a bit if you're a white cop right now and you have someone who's black killing someone. It's almost like, do you hesitate now not to shoot him because all of a sudden you're the bad guy now?
Well, there's certainly
Thanks, Danny.
A microscope right now that might not have been here a long time ago.
Well, and to play devil's advocate here, I mean, now, you know, after the fact, we know that no gun was recovered at the scene, but that police officer had no
True.
Idea whether he was armed or he wasn't.
Right.
Here's
an
again,
right.
Don't run. Put your arms up and go, you got me.
Yeah.
Stealing a car, you're going to get in trouble, yes, but you're not going to be dead, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just, you know, I would be scared to run. I really would be, because you want to stay alive.
But throw in, add to that equation the adrenaline of the moment.
Yeah.
And add to the equation the fact that somewhere in this kid's mind is probably the fact that I potentially could get away.
Right, I guess. All right, Rich is on the line. Hi, Rich.
Hi, you guys. How you doing?
Good.
Usually I, you know, want to call because of some fun topic, but obviously this is a tragic one. But Bill said something earlier that just really sparked me to just get on the phone. I have nothing but respect for police. I honor what they do, and I know deep down they're trying to just protect us regular
sure.
citizens, and it's in their bet, you know, they put their lives on the line.
Yeah.
But in this situation, and with Chicago being pretty notorious for cover-ups, especially lately under the current administration, with the red light cameras and the parking ticket stuff and all that.
Rich, we have 30 seconds here, so wrap her up.
Bill, you said something that just made me think. If there's a way to access how many times the camera is getting malfunctioned during regular stops that are not shootings or death
yeah.
related, what is the percentage of the camera messing up if it's just looking at somebody's driver's license to pull over a car or whatever? Why is it, you know, always malfunctioning during a shooting?
That's
it
a
is
great
disturbing.
Question.
I don't know the answer to that, but that's data they should probably compile because it's certainly pertinent to this.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Rich. We need to take a break. We'll get the news in. Kim will get the news, and then we still have plenty of people that want to weigh in on this, and we welcome your thoughts. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. As Kim said, great job. Thank you. I don't know where we begin with the calls. 312-981-7200. A video was released. 18-year-old Paul O'Neill stole a black Jaguar in Bolingbrook, drove it erratically. Cops were shooting at the car. The car crashed. Paul O'Neill got out, started running up someone's driveway and through their backyard in a residential area.
Yeah.
The next thing we know, you hear gunshots. You don't see what happened. And he's laying on the ground, being cuffed, appears to be lifeless at that point. His arms are limp, and there is some blood on his back, and he subsequently died.
Correct.
Is that the gist of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's take some phone calls on this, because we all have an opinion. Andy?
Yes.
Your thoughts?
Calling from Wisconsin. Way too many people are getting shot. Running away, unarmed people. The only thing I know about this story is what I heard on your radio broadcast. I've heard some of your other people that I appreciate what they had to say and I agree with. I have a little bit of knowledge about this. My son is a cop. I've worked in the court system where I live. And my son was actually involved in a shooting, but the bad guy was shooting first, so they had a reason. But the thing that the police should always be remembering is what would be the penalty for this person's crime if they were caught
for the theft of a car.
For the theft of a car, our society does not execute people for that. That's what they have to remember. If this kid was running away, well, sure, he did something wrong. He didn't want to get caught. He was running away. Some of the people said, well, you know, if you don't want to get shot, you shouldn't be running. You shouldn't be doing crimes. But that's kind of an unrealistic
It's easy to say that. It's easy to say that for me, a white suburbanite.
Me too. But, like, if this kid was trying to run down the cops, well, then they would have had a reason to fear for their lives. But there was no reason for these cops to be afraid of this kid. I don't know if he had a gun with him or not, but obviously he wasn't pointing it at the cops if he was running away.
Absolutely.
Once again, they have to remember, whether it's a shoplifter, the guy in New York that was selling cigarettes and he died, panhandlers, unarmed people, Green Bay, they shot a guy that was running away, and they actually hit a bystander, and no charges were filed against the cops. And once again, I'll repeat it one more time, and then I'll let you get on to someone else. You can't execute someone. You can't be the judge and jury for a nonviolent crime. This kid, he did something wrong. He screwed up. If he had a record, he deserved to go to jail. But they shouldn't have had the right to shoot him. And then, like you had commented, the comments that the cops had made, the surprise that the body cam wasn't working.
Yeah.
My son bought his own body camera because he wanted to, before his department issued him, he bought his own just for his own protection.
Smart
and
move.
Like I said, he was in a shooting. The bad guy didn't make it, but he had a gun and he was shooting at the police before they returned fire.
So, you made a lot of sense, in my mind, Andy. You really made a lot of sense with this call. Thank you for sharing that.
Yep. Wonderful program.
Andy, thanks.
Thanks,
Andy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yep.
There was a moment during the press conference with the O'Neill family where, Paul's sister, Brianna, was scheduled to speak, and then had a very, very difficult time speaking. But later in the press conference, one of the journalists, we don't know who, we only heard the voice, asked, you know, to tell us something good about her brother. And she went through a little bit of that. Several people commenting on that through the texts, all saying essentially, you know, similar things. 815 says, it would be so refreshing to hear a family member say at one of these conferences that they should not have been doing what they were doing. Instead, all we get is a lot of blame. They were remembering him extremely fondly, and several people have said, yeah, that's great. I'm sure he had a lot of very favorable moments in his life, but at the time of the altercation, he was stealing a car and fleeing from the scene.
Which they mentioned, because the sister did say, my mom and I tried really hard to keep him on the right path as best we could. They have admitted that.
That was very telling, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, even the attorney, they realized this kid was not a perfect child and was hoping to turn his life around by going to a trade school
right.
to become an electrician.
Right.
But I don't know. Bill, I just don't know what's going on. It seems like stealing a car, you shouldn't be dead.
No, there's no I don't think anyone can debate that. He was doing something that was horrible. He was stealing a car, but that doesn't equal death. It shouldn't equal death. So I'm sure I like to think I'm sure that if the cops had this to play all over again and you gave them all the options, the option that they would choose would not be to shoot this man to death. I'm positive nobody wanted that, but sadly that's what happened. So now we have to try our best to learn from this and figure out how to not let this keep happening, you know?
And realize if there was fault on the officer's side, too. Andy made total sense of it to me, just putting it out there that, you know, the car that was stolen could not be used as a weapon because at that point the car had crashed.
At that point.
Yes.
But it could. But up but until
it,
then.
Right. But it
could have taken anybody out.
Right. But it didn't. And threat eliminated because the car had crashed. Then he's on foot running away. And as Andy said, even if he did have a gun, he wasn't pointing the gun at the officers. He was running away. So it, in my opinion, feels like the cops' lives were not in danger.
Right. So I think most of us are trying to figure out there's like an unknown factor to this where you say, all right, we don't know if he has a gun and we don't know if he doesn't have a gun. But what we do know is he's running through a residential area. He's running through people's yards. And if there's people there and something goes horribly wrong, then the question will be, why didn't we take this guy? Why didn't we stop this guy before he killed somebody? Now, that didn't happen.
Right.
But if you're the police officers in this situation, you don't know what's coming next at that point.
I mean, I guess in a perfect world, you want to apprehend him, cuff him, and bring him to jail.
Sure.
Why didn't that happen? Where were the missing moments on the video when you heard the audio of the shots fired?
Right. Right.
A lot of questions. Charlie?
Hello, Wendy. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
It's as usual. You know, it's such a touchy subject. And as we all know, 99% of the cops are always people that use, you know, the right judgment.
Yeah.
The question is there a lack of training in the police department on this situation? When is it appropriate to use force or not? Or is it an individual that's usually careless in these situations? That's the question that I would like to know.
That's a great question that needs an answer because they obviously are trained. Is this a rogue cop who decides to do what he wants instead of what he should do? That's what we need to find out.
Exactly, because if you line up 20 cops and ask them the same question, they probably would tell you, if he's running away from me, there is no way I would use force. My life is not in danger. And it's just, you know, something that needs to be done, you know, in the police department. And don't take me wrong. I mean, you know, this kid stole a car, so it wasn't an easy thing. And as Bill just said, you know, he's probably running through backyards. And, you know, if he was carrying a gun, that, you know, that's not safe for people.
Right.
But the police department needs to find a way to try and stop these, because it just makes the police department look bad. And we all know that it's not.
Point well taken, Charlie. Thank you so much for calling.
Are rubber bullets still an option? There was a time where you would hear of stories like this and police would use a special pellet, a special bullet that might bring somebody down to the ground but not kill them. Is there time in a situation like this where cops would have that option of saying, let's use that secondary, more safer bullet?
It's a great question. 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break, back with your calls. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
All right. If you've been listening, you already know that our topic has been this Paul O'Neill video that was released earlier today. Beyond disturbing, certainly, but now the aftermath can be potentially more disturbing. So we've been getting your thoughts at 312-981-7200.
All right, Rodney, how are you?
I'm doing pretty decent. How you all doing?
Trying to figure things out in life, you know? It's getting stranger every day. What are your thoughts on this?
Continual escalation. I mean, this stuff has been going on for a long time. I used to live in Chicago years ago and grew up in Chicago on the far south side, out in Roseland. And I kid you not, years ago and even today, you know, a lot of things were happening. You just didn't have a video of it. You just hear about it and then you assume that the guy was a horrible person, that something else happened we didn't know about. But now we have the opportunity to see it, and we got people turning off cameras. We got people doing things, and then we got cops that escalate things. One would have to ask themselves, would that guy have ran into that police car had they not shot up in his car? Because the guy is strictly trying to get away. So here you got police doing something that their policy says don't do, shoot in a car where there has not been other weapons being used. And you got these guys, these cops, they want to do what they want to do. They want to be renegades. And here you have an example, cops being renegades, you know, not taking the life into question. But ask yourself this, if that was a young white guy that had stolen a Jaguar in Oak Brook, Illinois, made it to Chicago or whatever, would he have been fired upon? And the answer is possibly quite clear, is no, he wouldn't have, because if we do our research, there's probably no record of it.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how many texts say, Rodney, honestly, almost that word for word. And they don't even change it to, you know, the location. They're saying in this exact same scenario, if that was a white guy who had stolen a car and was running away, would he have been shot in the back and killed? And I mean, there's no way for us to know one way or the other, but realistically, you go, I would put my money that maybe that white kid has a much better chance of surviving that incident.
Yeah. You get a lot of things that cops do that people don't hear about. I'll tell you a quick story. Years ago, I was driving down Roosevelt Road out in Phillip Park, right by Oprah. I worked for a company in one tire lane, Sam Zales building. Mm-hmm. And I was driving one of our corporate cars and had my suit on, was driving one of our clients around, and I got pulled over by the police. And the reason why he told me he pulled me over was because it looked like my tires were bald. And mind you, it was dark. It was at night. And I said, these tires aren't bald. This is a $250,000 Bentley. And he ran all the information. When he finally saw who the corporation was on the insurance thing, he completely freaked out and apologized for pulling me over. But it wasn't until, it's just crazy. You got these different situations that happen. And that was about 16 years ago, maybe.
Well, you like to think with these body cameras and the dashboard videos that, you know, things do have to change on both sides. Respect has to be shown from both the police, and the people need to respect authority as well. But when these cameras are just, how weird is it that the shooter's camera was not working? It seems very odd.
It's odd, it's strange, it's sad, and it shows that there's a disregard for authority, even within their organization, for the people who are over them. That shows that they believe that they are covered by a whole nother code of conduct. Why would they do that if they didn't think that there was a possibility that they were going to be covered on another end? And that's where therein lies the problem. You know, who is their gatekeeper? And if their gatekeepers are keeping them from being prosecuted, then we have to deal with the gatekeeper.
You make a lot of sense, Rodney. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Rodney.
Hey, you all too.
Okay.
And we mentioned there was some, at the end of the video, the officer who, it appears, shot the Paul O'Neill was bothered that he was going to be put on desk duty for 30 days. He seemed not
a little put out.
Yeah, and not remorseful.
Cost them some time. Yeah.
There was a female, his partner or someone, another coworker, who seemed very upset, like, calm down, we'll handle this. She seemed very nervous about the shooting that took place. And Eric, you'd like to address that?
Well, yeah, I mean, none of us most likely have shot and killed somebody either by accident or on purpose. So we don't know the stress of that moment where this young, because they said these were young police officers, this young police officer, for whatever reason, discharged his weapon, shot a child, shot somebody, that person's dead.
Yeah.
You know, we all use gallows humor. You guys use it all the time, which always makes me laugh. In that moment, we don't know what's going through this guy's head. You know, I've said inappropriate things. Every one of us, I have ADD. I think anybody with ADD has said inappropriate things at inappropriate times. So I can easily see this police officer saying something which he really doesn't mean. It just comes out and it's oral diarrhea.
I kept thinking, is it because of what just happened? Was that a defense mechanism? Did he just say that just because he wasn't clearly thinking that he had just killed somebody? So he was just saying whatever came to mind. Or maybe he was, as you pointed out, trying to use gallows humor. Whatever it is, when you hear it, it just sounds so insensitive.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And someone also mentioned at first maybe he didn't realize that the kid died.
Right, right.
That could be too.
You know, that because it was, you should watch the video. And really.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch the video.
It is hard to watch.
It is disturbing.
You know, it looks so much like, because of our generation, it looks like Grand Theft Auto, the way you're seeing it, the point of view that you're seeing it in. And then you have to keep realizing, no, this is real. This is as real can be. It's just so jarring to watch.
I'll take your word for it.
Thanks for the call, Eric. Appreciate it.
I agree with, though, having the cameras, because people need to be held accountable
without
for things.
Without a doubt. The cameras are a very good thing to have.
And hopefully it will make some change come about.
You'd hope. Yeah.
But the cameras have to be working.
Yeah, that's the
Shouldn't
key,
there be like it? A camera crew to make sure?
Make sure of everything working, yeah.
I know.
All right, we need to take a break. Everybody, we so appreciate all your thoughts on this, your calls and your texts. We need to take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Ro and Anna have in just a moment. Bill and Wendy with you on WGN.